It's time once again for an American Catholic history lesson, and our teachers have joined us once again, Tom and Noelle Crow, continuing to share hidden gems and compelling stories of Catholic Americans who've contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. And today, we're headed to Boston to talk about Holy Cross Cathedral. Good morning, you two. Welcome back to the Morning Blend.
Good morning.
Doing great. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm excited to head back home today.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is your old stomping grounds there, Noelle. So tell us more about this beautiful cathedral.
Well, the current cathedral is actually at its third location.
Oh.
The Church of Holy Cross in Boston was actually established as a church before Boston was a diocese. So it goes back quite a while. All the way back actually to 1788, when the very first public mass in the city of Boston was celebrated by a French naval chaplain. And that actually was 8 years after the Massachusetts Constitution had allowed for Catholics to publicly practice their faith. So it took 8 years after that for a mass to be celebrated. At the time, it was celebrated in what had been an old Huguenot, so Protestant chapel, and the Catholic, small Catholic community in Boston took that over to have mass there.
This is actually one of the crazy things to think about with Boston, because when we think about Boston, we think of the Irish Catholics, especially the Irish, but you know, all the other Catholics too. We think about it being such a Catholic city. It was not. That changed over the decades. But yeah, I mean, Boston, you know, the center of very anti-Catholic Protestantism during the colonial era and into the beginning of the country. So,
right.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, you know, this is actually before you start to have that influx of Irish coming. So at the beginning, you actually have a lot of French who are Catholic in Boston and also ministering to the Catholics in Boston. It's mostly Frenchmen who have come over again.
And down from Canada.
And down from Canada, a lot fleeing the French Revolution, and then becoming missionaries in that area. So, yeah, so in 1788, but by 1800, they recognized that they need to actually build an actual church. The congregation is growing. And so they start with fundraising and with plans. The original building is built and was now Franklin Square in Boston. And it was designed by Charles Bulfinch, also designed the dome of the Capitol building and the Massachusetts State House and a lot of other government buildings at that time. So that's a really prominent architect to be designing a Catholic church in Boston.
Well, and the way that came about, he gave the plans for the first Holy Cross Church, eventually Cathedral. He gave them to the first bishop of Boston for free.
But
he wasn't bishop yet. He was a missionary, Jean Chevreux.
Chevreux had also made friends with another guy you might have heard of, named John Adams, who made a donation to building this church, which is also amazing because Adams was notoriously anti-Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just speaks to how persuasive Chevreux was.
He was an impressive figure. He really paved the way for the church to develop in that area.
Yes. Yeah. So in 1803, the first Holy Cross Church was dedicated. Father Chevreux was the preacher, and Bishop Carroll was in attendance. And then in 1808, Boston became a diocese, and that's when
Holy Cross became the first cathedral.
It became the first cathedral, first church there in Boston, and became the first cathedral, and Father Chevreux became Bishop Chevreux, the first, which, you know, they say Chevreux, but I'm from French descent, so I have to say Chevreux. But
Jean Chevreux just doesn't sound as good as Jean Chevreux.
So he became the first bishop of Boston. And that church was used from then in 1803 all the way until 1860, when it was starting to fall into disrepair. It was in a section of town where, like a lot of downtowns, you know, you don't have as many people living there anymore. And so they decided to build a new church further out of town where they could be bigger and where the town might be growing too. Mm-hmm. So in 1860, they had their last mass there in anticipation of building this new cathedral. But this thing happened.
You might have heard of it.
Again.
The Civil War kind of delayed things.
Yes.
Yeah. So they didn't break ground on the new cathedral, the present cathedral, until 1866, after the Civil War was over. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have a cathedral church for those six years.
They spent 2 years holding mass in a theater until they purchased a former Unitarian church, turned it into the Catholic Church for a little bit, and then started building what is now the current cathedral. Now, this cathedral, the architect was a man named Patrick Keeley. And most people probably haven't heard of Patrick Keeley the same way you've heard of Bullfinch. But Patrick Keeley designed multiple cathedrals and Catholic churches in the United States. He's really known as the architect of American Catholicism in some ways. So one of these days we'll tell you more about him. Mm-hmm. But he was the architect for this church that was built outside of Boston, and it's a really
large church for its day. I mean, it's a large church now. You can fit 2,000 people in there. Wow. And if you look at pictures of the facade, you go on Wikipedia, you look at the picture of the facade, it doesn't look that large. And until I visited it, I had no idea how large it actually is. But we visited it about 4 years ago.
So the nave is 364 feet.
Yeah.
So it's quite large.
It is a large church. And there was a massive renovation of it in 2019, a restoration of it in a lot of ways, which they did a masterful job. And it is really impressive and gorgeous inside. So, mm-hmm.
So this church took 9 years to build. They dedicated it in 1875. And Archbishop
John Williams.
John Williams.
In between composing musical scores.
Yeah. The soundtrack of our lives. Yeah, John
exactly.
Williams.
Exactly.
This wasn't the Imperial March. This was the Episcopal March.
Yes. Archbishop, it was the same year, right, that Boston got its first archbishop. Yeah. So that was kind of also significant in 1875. So it is a gorgeous church. Tom and I, have been there. We were visiting, took some video, and somebody came and was practicing the organ at the same time as we were there. So it was really lovely. There are two bishops of Boston who are buried in the crypt of the cathedral. It's Fitzpatrick. And who was the third? And
Williams.
Was it Williams?
I think it is Williams, yeah.
Yeah, who are buried there. Mm-hmm. And the altar of the original cathedral is in the crypt also. So they have that there as well, which is pretty neat. So
yes, one of the neat features, since Boston typically has a cardinal archbishop, cathedrals that have cardinal archbishops, when the cardinal archbishop dies, they'll take the red hat, the galera it's called, mm-hmm. And a cardinal's galera will have ranks of, like, three ranks of tassels hanging from it. They aren't really used anymore in ceremonial and liturgical practices, unfortunately. But they do still, the cardinals will still receive them and keep them. When the cardinal dies, the galera is hung from the ceiling of the cathedral. They hang them in different places. In Washington, they're hung at the back of the cathedral, at the back, close to the narthex. In Holy Cross there in Boston, they hang them above the sanctuary. They're way up high. And there's an old legend that when after the cardinal's galera is hung up there, he'll be in purgatory until it rots and falls from the ceiling. But there are three or four of them hanging from the ceiling. I can't remember exactly how many, but three or four of them hanging from the ceiling of the current Holy Cross. It's an impressive church to see. It's gorgeous. And if you're ever in Boston, you park the car and have it, go ahead. Yeah, take the MTA, which, try and make sure you do a return. You don't want to never return. Get over to Holy Cross.
If people want to learn more about what you guys do and more of these great stories, where can they find you?
AmericanCatholicHistory.org.